faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, BCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined today by Representative Janelle Brancham and talk about what's going on in Wisconsin as that's becoming the battleground for the election theft of 2020. She was on TV with me the other night. Fascinating interview. And we're going to endeavor to open the phone lines up. Give you a quick update on this Omicron/flu that's going around. Talked to Dr. Zev Zelenko this morning, described Melissa and I's symptoms, and he said you either have the flu and or Omicron or both. And he said everybody's going to get the Omicron eventually. So I guess you might as well just go ahead and get it. So I'm doing not as good as yesterday. I was feeling pretty good last night. And maybe after I have some of my vitamins and C and D and zinc and a few other things, I'll pep up. But I definitely got to feeling pretty good last night. I did all my shows and everything. And then this morning, all through the night this morning, is horrible. All you want to do is lay down. You just zero energy. Zero. And like someone's stabbing you in all your organs, your kidneys, your liver. I said to Dr. Zev, what is that all about? He said, your body's being, if you got Omicron, your body's being attacked by a bioweapon. That's what's going on. He said, but everybody's pretty much going to catch this thing. So anyway, I'm doing better than Melissa. She is not doing well, but he got her this morning on some HCQ, which we thankfully had on hand, and he got her on some doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and so he's wanting her to check back in with him tonight, see where she's at. But yeah, she's much worse than I am. She can't keep anything down, but we'll endeavor to persevere and keep going.
She's on.
It's, again, pray for Dr. Zev. He's fighting cancer, as you know, but he's just always so great to take our calls and help, and he's fighting for the country. He's been, of course, he's the Dr. Zev Zelenko of the Zelenko Protocols, so pray for Dr. Zev that the Lord would grant him complete healing. We need guys like Dr. Zev Dewey speaking up about what's going on with this COVID, with this bioweapon, with the bioweapon shot, all of it. So anyway, pray for him, pray for Melissa, and we get her back and recovered. You always know what a big, big, big part they are of your life until they get flat on their back, right? And then you realize, oh man, this whole organization, what I do, what Logan does, what Melissa does, and the other team players, when they can't do their job, you all of a sudden realize how valuable they are to us. And so we need to get her back up on her feet for her sake and for the sake of the cause. So pray for her quick, speedy healing. We're hoping that by tonight that zinc and HCQ and vitamin C and vitamin D is kicked in. And right now she's doing good because, you know, that in itself can cause an upset stomach. So right now it's doing good. I was not so sure she could keep that stuff down, but because having an upset stomach on top of it, and then you add that to it, you know what it's like for some of you have more sensitive stomachs than others. And one of the things about zinc is it can make you feel nauseous. That's one of the side effects of that zinc. But thankfully, she's keeping that down, and hopefully that'll get into her system. And that HCQ, as Dr. Zev has explained to us now we've been working with him, interviewing him since early 2020, that HCQ opens the cell, allows the zinc to get in there and kill the virus. So it's really something, his Zelenko protocols. I'm told he's one of the two doctors, at least two of the doctors that treated President Trump when he was president and got sick. Him and Dr. Peter McCullough. Well, joining us now is Representative Brancham. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on VCY America, a powerful Christian radio network, as you know, based in Milwaukee, which I think is part of your district. We're on, of course, Frank Speech, Lindell TV. But today we're on the blowtorch stations of VCY America that just blanket Wisconsin. Of course, they have powerful stations in Phoenix and Tucson and many, many other states. But I'm sure you're quite familiar with VCY America, as part of your district is Milwaukee, correct?
That is correct. And I'm so sorry that you're under the weather. My prayers to your family as well. it's no fun. And, my family's gone through COVID as well. And so my prayers to you and for a speedy recovery and that you're feeling better soon.
Thank you. Thank you. And these shows are just too important to call in sick. And so we're here, and it's not that we're heroes. We just know how important these things are. So we can go lay down after this hour and then get ready for other broadcasts later in the day. But this is just such an important broadcast to carry with you today because of what's happening in your state. Your Wisconsin is becoming the battleground for the 2020 theft, is it not?
We definitely have a lot of information that we've acquired almost, a year. We actually got we requested information right after the election in 2020. A lot of open records about these five CTCL, the Civic Tech for Civic Life, that gave $10 million of private money to elections for the five largest Democrat cities. And when you ask for it in November of 2020, that means you get it in February of 2021. And when we got those documents, there were a lot of emails that showed the level of coordination, the level of dollars that were spent in these Democrat areas, which is Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Madison, and how they were building information and platforms and walkable apps. And they were actually in the clerk's office. It was a quid pro quo. They paid money from the Zuckerberg group to get access to the clerks in these five Democrat areas and get out the vote,
wow,
which is not the job of a municipality, is it?
No, it's not. And I think we need a graphic, guys, for TV. I just text Jill to get us a graphic. What's shocking to me, Representative Branchon, is that the nonprofits, they're not supposed to be used for political purposes, for one party or one candidate over another. You can't do that. I mean, here we are on VCY America Radio Network. We don't endorse candidates. We don't lobby for candidates. We don't promote one party over another. We just report the news. We provide a public service of what's happening across the board, because there are certain rules for certain groups and their classifications. Nonprofits are not to be doing this. This is illegal from everything I know about nonprofits.
Well, what was kind of interesting about it from the nonprofit perspective is they gave money to targeted communities that were Democratic. And when they got caught just in these five Democrat strongholds in Wisconsin, then they put a smaller amount of grants out for, say, 300 different municipalities out of 1,900. They kind of covered themselves when somebody went to court. But undoubtedly, out of the $10 million that we're talking about, 85% of that money went to Democrat municipalities. And that's where the problem begins, right? So in Wisconsin, have elections gone to the highest bidder?
Wow. Then on top of it, we have someone that was able to gain access to where the votes are actually counted, correct?
Yeah, well, CTCL and another nonprofit group. This was beautiful, right, from the Zuckerberg group, that they, by giving $500 million to elections, that they were able to write this money off. That's the crazy part of it, because they were nonprofits.
Okay, that way, let's stop right there for 1 second. Let's stop right there for 1 second, because that is huge, what you just said. Here's a guy that's worth so much money, and of course, he likes to have more tax write-offs. He gets to give money to a nonprofit, take a tax write-off, and buy up elections. I mean, again, this seems criminal.
It is. It certainly skirts the law. And as you can imagine, in Wisconsin, we as legislators wrote bills to try to bring that to an end. But having a Democrat governor who, obviously, this worked well for them, as Joe Biden, barely won the state of Wisconsin with this additional money, that worked good for them. So at this point, they think that that's a good plan. And they are considering that they're just helping voters. But they didn't help all voters. They helped Democrat city voters.
And then, of course, some of this money went to providing drop boxes around your state, and Wisconsin statutes make it absolutely 100% against the law to have drop boxes, correct?
Drop boxes are actually in court right now in the state of Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty. They have taken that to court because, while the only thing we have on the books as for drop boxes is that the envelope, it must only be able to have a slit in it for one ballot at a time. Drop boxes were certainly part of the Zuckerberg money.
So are drop boxes illegal in your state of Wisconsin?
Drop boxes have no rules and no laws. They are only guarded by guidance. There is no laws on drop boxes for the state of Wisconsin. Where, chain of custody, who picks up, when they're picked up. These are all things that were done by our elections commission on the fly. So they're only guidance. There are no laws in statute.
But they knew, the Wisconsin Election Commission knew that they were breaking the law and put it in writing to all the county clerks throughout the state of Wisconsin, correct?
And that becomes the problem. Wisconsin Election Commission can just sit in front of the typewriter and put out whatever guidance they want and be able to use that as an opportunity to manage clerks as far as what they should be doing. Listen, these clerks are really the victims here. They were under the impression that the Wisconsin Election Commission was their go-to group, right? But we are in a situation where our Wisconsin Election Commission, we don't have a Secretary of State. So we have a Wisconsin Election Commission, three Republicans, three Democrats. They were supposed to be able to provide four votes out of the six would say, yeah, that goes ahead and goes forward. Instead, they've sat down on the typewriter and made guidance sometimes, many times, we would say, against the legality of the laws and the statutes that exist in Wisconsin. And that includes drop boxes. That would be up to the legislature, not up to laws, not guidance.
Okay, so that's where they broke the law.
I believe so, yes.
And they memorialized their illegal behavior in writing to all the clerks.
Right. They have the power that they were the ones that were supposed to, you know, all of these agencies, right? Department of Transportation, Health Services. We as a legislature write the laws, and then you're supposed to have these agencies help sort out that information. Many of us believe that Wisconsin Election Commission has gone too far and have made themselves the legal experts here instead of the fact that the laws are to us clearer. And they're using guidance, right?
And the committee is made up of Republicans and Democrats, and only one Republican. Only one Republican opposed what was happening, right?
That was in regards not to drop boxes, but in regards to special voting deputies.
So.
We have so much. I know we could do your full show and then some on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to come back after this 60-second break. We're going to hear from Representative Janelle Branchen. We're going to give out her website. If you'd like to get a pen and paper, we'll give out her website. And then we're going to open up the phone calls for you to get involved in the conversation. Again, a public service we're offering here, because I don't care what party you belong to or if you're an independent, we should want fair elections. Everybody should want that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Representative Janelle Branchen joins us. Representative Branchen, give us your website where people can reach you, please.
Sure. It's rep.branchen, B-R-A-N-D-T-J-E-N, at gov.
So it's,
and we have all of these election documents that allow you to see a lot of the information that we have. Last name is a tough one, BRANDTJEN.gov. So it's Branchen, all one word. I love my husband. That's the last name he gave me. So it might be a little hard to say, but he's worth it. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. So I'll make sure we got it right on our end. REP dot Branchen, BRANDTJEN, dot gov.
At gov.
Wait a minute, but for a website, it would be .gov, right? For not email, not your email address, but your website.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, .gov. Thank you.
.gov. Okay. Because at the website is where they're going to find all of this evidence you've archived, right?
Oh, that is true. We have, if you go to the bottom of the page on the menu, you have all of the information, the emails between CTCL, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Madison. They're all there. As well as our hearings, all the information that we've come out with, as the apps they've built, the information that have come from clerks. I mean, we have hours and hours of documentation as well as documents that you can kind of go along and see how we've built this story out of all of the information that have come from these Democrats, you know, funded Zuckerberg cities.
All right, Logan, I'm not getting that website there. Are you getting it? But I did find one that's just branchen.com.
There you go. You can use that one.
And that does that, will that one have all the information about the where it's all archived?
I hope to. I believe so. You're catching me.
All these websites, I know. I've got a gazillion of them myself. Well, you could maybe let us know later in the broadcast and we'll announce it. But I did, that other website didn't work for me, but I did get just simply branchen.com. Branchen.com worked for me. But when you get a chance, let us know, because I know the audience, particularly being with so many listening on VCY America out of Milwaukee, are going to want to have that information. Let's talk about this individual that got access to where the votes were being counted. Let's talk about that guy.
Sure. CTCL had one of the nonprofits was called National Vote at Home, and they're really interested about making sure that people just vote at home instead of showing up on election day. The reason for that is the Carter administration put that report out in the 70s that said, listen, whenever you have ballots that are mailed in or have the ability to be in Dropbox, that there's always a chain of custody issue, greater chance for fraud, right?
Right.
Who's in the chain of custody? Who's picking up and using this? So National Vote at Home is definitely an advantage for Democrats that to get people to vote who normally may not be interested in voting. It's not the candidate is supposed to be that enthusiasm that makes you want to vote. Now you're sending people just ballots to their house. They're going to make them out, or somebody's going to help you make them out. So Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, a guy from New York, shows up in Wisconsin and actually starts building with all of these five cities a data point, a walkable app, all things that Republicans did not have access to. It was really a one-party ability to add to get out the vote. Michael Spitzer Rubenstein went so far as, in the city of Green Bay, on election morning, he was the one whose name was on the contract to open the doors for the central count. So think about that. In bold print, on the central count location where all these ballots that came in by mail, almost 60% of the ballot, this guy's name is on the contract from New York. In all caps, it says, do not open the doors until Michael Spitzer Rubenstein and the security team get to the location. That's crazy, right?
So
I've got a New Yorker now. His name is on the contract for the city of Green Bay. That's unheard of,
and
right?
That's where the votes are actually counted, right?
That's all those mail-in votes. A central count location in Wisconsin is all the city of Green Bay's ballots were going to be that were mailed in will be counted in the location. And this 2020 race was almost over 60% because people were afraid of COVID, right?
And the margin of victory was 20,728 or 20,628 or something like that, right?
It was.
So what were there any Republican poll watchers in that room?
Well, we were limited, right? But here's Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, and I have a handful of poll workers in that room, and they see that he has a tag that says he works for the city of Green Bay. And the guy never, we asked the city of Green Bay, where's his financial records? What do you pay this guy? And they said, oh, no, he was never supposed to get that. So I have a guy with a history of having emails from June on to the election day. I have a city clerk who 2 weeks in the city of Green Bay leaves her office 2 weeks before, although complaining the whole time that she feels that she's being undermined by this national vote at home and Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. So she's not there on election day. The deputy clerk isn't there. I have a third level clerk running this with a guy from New York in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Can you be any more flyover states than Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Right.
Has a guy from New York giving out information, addressing poll workers, helping run the machines. He sends emails, this machine isn't running fast enough. Can you imagine that? If I had been in a counting room, and here I have a guy who is a Democrat operative, helping Democrats win races 4 years is his resume. Now in the city of Green Bay, with keys to the facility, the responsibility of having a tag, and you're going to tell me I had a fair election in the city of Green Bay?
Because what he could do then, I guess, is just oversee the team that just is running through ballots and counting the same ballots over and over, right?
We have no idea. Now, there is a clerk there. There are people there. But this is a guy who has a laptop and a phone. And we have pictures of him with his laptop and phone in the city, in this counting room. I mean, think about that. Now he's able to give real-time updates, and it's a miracle because somehow the city of Green Bay counted and counted, and it took till 4 o'clock in the morning, and at the end, Joe Biden just got enough votes to eke out Donald Trump for the first time in a long time in the city of Green Bay.
And by the way, the margin of victory, I looked it up in Wisconsin, was 20,682. 20,682. And then we add in the 500,000 votes that came in from nursing homes. And some of these people, their kids say, look, my parents don't even know who I am. So they certainly don't have the wherewithal to be voting. And yet someone was taking a ballot in there and voting for them. And there's reports of 500,000 ballots being harvested out of these nursing homes.
Yeah, it was one of those things, you know, COVID, people were very uncomfortable with having folks in the senior center, senior apartments. In the state of Wisconsin, we have what's called a voting deputy, a special voting deputy. And so you're supposed to have one Republican and one Democrat to make sure that when people are voting that they have all the information available to them. It's a fair process, right? Transparent. In the 2020 election, unfortunately, there was a vote to break the law and keep these special voting deputies out. Well, you know, in the spring election, I don't think I would have agreed with that. But by the fall election, it became a situation where you are having the opportunity in the facility in Green Bay, or excuse me, in Kenosha. The deputy who did the report there, usually 0 to 3 people would vote. But instead, there's 40 people in this facility, usually 0 to 3. A lot of these people are almost end of life, okay? 0 to 3, 40 people in the facility, they got 80 ballots. Think about that. 40 people, they got 80 ballots. That's quite a game changer, isn't it?
So
when you multiply that times facilities all around the state of Wisconsin.
So 40 people are in the facility, but 80 people voted, even though there's only 40 in the facility.
80 ballots were given out.
Interesting.
Again, chain of custody, right? These are the things that a special voting deputy would take. Chain of custody. They hold the ballots. They keep the ballots. Listen, the the director of this facility, since they were told not to have these special voting deputies, she just said, I would just leave them in front of the TV and then ask them where they would point to the ballot. I mean, it was, who got the ballots? Were they sealed? I mean, these are the type of things that really should give people cause to think, you know, that this is not a fair and transparent process. And I'm not saying that the facility is meant to do harm, but having ballots float around a facility of thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin is not a good process.
No, it's certainly not. What is your title? You're the chairman of a committee that oversees elections, right?
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the Elections and Campaigns Committee. We've been doing hearings on this since March, since, you know, we found the CTCL connections. It was actually, you know, one observer, one person, right, who went to the Green Bay facility and saw this guy with a tag and realized he wasn't a city employee and said, you know what? What are you doing here? Who are you? Who are you authorized? And this one guy that we refer to as the Marine said, if you are truly just an observer, then you need to sign this book. And observers have different laws in the state of Wisconsin than a poll worker. And this one observer was able to make sure that he signed his name, Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. And from that point, we were able to use that name and do all kinds of open records requests. So it goes to show you, one person made such a huge difference in the state of Wisconsin to make sure that we could track all of this money and all of these people that were part of changing the election in the state of Wisconsin. We could never have done it. One person made that difference.
You guys called him
we
the Marine?
We referred to him as the Marine, yep.
Yeah, why? Was he a Marine or did he just acted like one?
No, he was a Marine, and he said, you're going to sign this book or I'm going to sign it for you, sir.
Wow.
So, I mean, it goes to show you the power of one person making all that difference. All of this information, all of these open records came from one person's knowing their job on election day and saying, listen, you have to sign this book so we know who you are.
Is there a way to do some kind of, or maybe this is what you're doing, a criminal investigation that would allow a grand jury to indict Zuckerberg? Can we indict this guy? Can we finally see justice done with Zuckerberg and indict him and see him in a prison in Wisconsin?
So, you know, Speaker Voss has put money aside for the state of Wisconsin. We do have an investigator. Former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman has gone forward and bringing a lot of these subpoenas forward to ask these people how they're connected, why, the ability to know exactly what's happening with the emails and the data. And so we have, it's taken a long time to unravel all this. This was not a simplistic plan in the state of Wisconsin. It was incredibly coordinated between different nonprofits, at least 14 nonprofits, each with a specific job to make sure that they could get the end game of turning out voters that were Latinx, that they were a Black, Hispanic, Hmong. They were going after a specific subgroup, which I guess for the rest of us, if you were white or from the suburbs or anything, they weren't interested in that. And that is another issue that brings to the table, do they have the power to just reach out to one group of people versus another? And
wow, hold
honestly,
right there.
By law, I would say no, right?
Hold right there. We come back, Representative Janelle Branchon, and we're about to open the phone lines, folks. Incredible program. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website. Excuse me, worldviewradio.com. Representative Janelle Branchen is my guest, and she represents, well, your district is kind of a long district, is it not? Is that right?
It is. It's 60,000 people from Milwaukee, Menominee Falls, Lisbon, Lannan, all the way out to Holy Hill, which is, you know, somewhat beautiful, right?
Right.
If you're from Wisconsin area, then you know Holy Hill is truly a magnificent place to be able to say that's part of your district.
And how long have you been in the state legislature?
7 years. Next year will be my 8th year, so 4 terms.
And I'm imagining that now that you're the chairman of this powerful committee and doing what you're doing, there's probably going to be a lot of national money coming in to take your seat, right?
I'm sure there are a lot of people that would like to see me gone. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, the truth is the truth, and it makes it pretty hard to ignore these issues that, you know, I don't think that these are Republican or Democrat issues. I think these are issues of
exactly
transparency, fairness, equity. I mean, when to think that we don't want to have fair elections or don't have people believe they're fair, that's when democracy, you know, that's when the republic falls.
Yes.
If you don't think that you're being heard at the ballot box, that's what we always, you're heard, you know, that's your opportunity to be heard. If you don't think there's equity there, that's when we have issues with people take matters into their own hands, right? They're
right.
Not being heard. They're not. This is a dangerous position in being okay with not having the transparency necessary to these elections.
We're about to open up the phone lines here in just a moment, folks, but let me ask you about this Walk Around app. You mentioned this app and this list that was being used by the Democrats that the Republicans didn't have. What is that?
So they actually, if you go to the hearing that we had on the Wisconsin Eye, and it might cost you $10, we actually go through the emails of Michael Spitzer Rubenstein building this app, the real-time system that incorporates the scans of the ballots themselves when they're sent out, the codes, the U.S., the United States Postal Service, pickup dates, to exact addresses of ballots that are outstanding every single night to allow the Democrats to have the ability to know exactly what, by address and street address, what ballots were still to be able to be collected. So they could go to their houses with voting navigators, either collect them themselves or make sure that they were getting mailed back or dropped off at the ballot box. I mean, all of this was a real-time system that, by census data, you're broken into black, white, Hispanic. Every ward, it has a map and a color of what the turnout was. It was an incredible real-time system that let them know exactly where they were by percentages on election day. And that's pretty incredible, with an app that then allowed them to go door to door to people who could have been voting but had not. These are the type of things, this is the reality. Data is the new way that elections will be won and lost. And I hate to say the Republican Party at this point is a dinosaur in this process.
How do we know they weren't voting for those people?
Well, voting navigators are not a term that is used in the state of Wisconsin. They made up their own terms. So what they were doing and what they were paid to do, we don't know. That is one of the things I know Justice Gableman has asked on some of this information of voting navigators on some of the subpoenas, is what exactly was the job of a voting navigator and how did they only go to certain segments of the population?
1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Now, those of you living outside of the state of Wisconsin, Arizona, you know this kind of thing happened there. This went on in Michigan, Pennsylvania, you know, a lot of states, right? It probably went on in every state. So, but this is a federal election. So this impacts all of us. So we'd love to hear from all of you today, but we'd certainly love to hear from folks from Wisconsin, since our representative here is Janelle Branchen, and she is from Wisconsin and is doing this investigation. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. You mentioned the census. Have you seen the documentary that Mike Lindell and I produced, where we show Dr. Doug Frank His math that looks like they actually injected the 2010 census into the voter rolls?
Oh, they did. This is clearly, you'll see the emails back and forth. They actually asked the city of Milwaukee, Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, National Voter at Home, asked them for the census information so they can parlay that into the voter rolls, I'm assuming with Facebook information. I mean, think about the outcome. You're talking 1984 here. They knew exactly how you were going to vote and whose houses to go to based on all of this information. Incredibly, you know, important and a little scary that what you say and what information you might have put on Facebook, included with your census information, including with your voting records, that's powerful stuff, isn't it?
It absolutely is, which, again, shows you how Facebook has been used to gain data, you know, and then use that data. As you said, data is king, and so they use that data and being able to know what you believe, your worldview, your values, and then use that. I mean, I still have to wonder if, and to this day, I wonder if Zuckerberg, if this little weasel actually developed that company, or is he just a CIA front? But that's just my opinion. It just seems like something seems odd with that guy.
Well, you know, so to put things in perspective, all of our data, all of our voting information, 31 states use what's called the ERIC system, the Electronic Registration Information Center, and that has all our voting on 31 states. And that was actually built by the same people who are part of this Zuckerberg group. We just realized this within the last couple of months. CEIR, another group that got $75 million directly from Zuckerberg. I think $250 million went to CTCL, $70 million to the CEIR. The gentleman came to Wisconsin and said, you know, there's no issues here. We looked up his name, and we couldn't believe that this is the same guy that was spearheaded the ERIC system that 31 states are part of. This really is just goes to show you how comprehensive all of this data is being shared now between states in what we believed was going to be, you know, an opportunity to see if we had double voting in Wisconsin and you also voted in Florida or Wisconsin and Michigan or Illinois. I mean, those were things we thought by having the states work together. Now that we know a lot of that data was built by the same people who were part of this CTCL group and the Zuckerberg money, it's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. And then we have President Obama's former campaign manager involved in this too, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of the people that worked under the Hillary programs, the early Hillary data programs, and the Obama programs are usually large parts of building these new nonprofits and getting different information and reaching out to different groups. It's all under get out the vote, right? They want to get out the vote. That is the job of the parties, not the job of the municipalities, because you can't pick favorites, right? You can't say, I'm going to do ads to Latinx, Hispanic groups, to gay, lesbian, or felons. I'm going to reach out to those groups, but not to other groups. And that's what happened with the money that came to Wisconsin. And, you know, that's not transparent and fair elections.
No, absolutely not. And not when nonprofits are being partisan, which they're not supposed to be able to do. Let's go to line two. Dave from Clintonville. Thanks for calling in from Clintonville, Wisconsin today, Dave.
Hi, thank you. I just want to thank Janelle for her work, and I really appreciate what she's doing. But I've got a question for her, because I'm calling and calling my senator and my representatives, and the other day I called Senator Bernier's office, and we know what's going on with her statements that she's put out. But what the aide tells me is, this has all been debunked, and Janelle doesn't know what she's talking about. Can you speak to the disconnect between the Assembly and the Senate?
Well, I don't think there will be much disconnect any longer. The information that's coming out is now coming out in droves. There's nothing to disconnect the fact that Michael Spitzer Rubenstein and CTCL put all this money, and there are far more questions still that need to be answered by these nonprofits. So a lot of people find it hard. This is Wisconsin, right? We're the Midwest. This is not supposed to happen here. But when Trump lost here in 16, all of these groups got together and decided that they were going to change the outcome.
You mean when Trump? When Trump won there in 16?
Yeah, when Trump. I'm sorry. When Trump won here in 16, that set off a whole set of systems that we now have. You know, when 2020 came along, that things were going to be different.
And Tim, Representative Tim Rantham hinted to us the other day that something big is coming.
Oh, there's a lot coming down the pipeline here. We have actually looked into the voter rolls themselves in the state of Wisconsin. We have, I think I'd mentioned to you before, we have 157,000 people with the same voter number. We have thousands of voter numbers that have 8 digits or a different 9 digits or 10 digits. How can you compare this information when we have this kind of crazy data? 7 million records on only 3.3 million people that actually vote in the state. These are the kind of questions that every state should be sorting through their voter records, because that's the difference between somebody that can cast a ballot and somebody that cannot. We certainly want to make sure that everybody who is legal and has the ability to vote does, but we want to make sure that there's no opportunity for people to game the system.
Absolutely. You said 157,000 voters with the same ID?
With the same voter number in the state of Wisconsin. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
That makes it hard to compare information, doesn't it?
Well, when the March of Victory was a little, 20,600 and some odd or whatever it was. I mean, wow. Let's go to line four. William from Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Line four, thank you for calling in, William.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the work that you all are doing. I said, my name is William. I'm actually the Ms. Branson, you and I actually met a little while ago back in August. I'm the Iowa County Chairman for the Republican Party over here. And I wanted to just personally say thank you for all the work that you've been putting forward and all of the efforts there. I did have two quick questions, if we could. One was specifically, back on August 8th, there was the Rise of Wisconsin rally in Madison. I was there helping to, I'm a notary, so I was helping with affidavit statements and stuff, calling for a full forensic audit of the election here. That was back in August. We know that, I mean, if I can just speak very plainly, Representative Voss has refused to sign any of the subpoenas that you issued on that day. You issued subpoenas that same day that we were there. He has not signed any of them. Nobody in the Senate has signed them, and so they were non-actionable. And to my understanding, there have been subpoenas signed and issued for Justice Gableman, which is fine. I have nothing against Justice Gableman. I guess I'm feeling frustrated with the work that we've put forward and the information that's not getting out to the American people as a whole in Wisconsin around this. I'm hoping that maybe you would have any insights or thoughts on what we can do pursuant to persuade Representative Voss to sign those petitions and subpoenas that you issued almost a year ago now. And secondly, as far as the Wisconsin's Elections Commission go, I would like to know your thoughts on what we can do to hold those individuals accountable going forward, because
all right,
obviously there's a great breach there.
Thank you, William. We're going to go into a break. We'll come back. We're going to let Representative Janelle Branchon answer those two questions as we come back. Then we're going to go out to Tucson, Arizona, to Joanne. Then we'll go to David, listening in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we'll keep taking your calls here. We're going to go to Mark from Eau Claire. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Very, very, very important program, folks. If we're going to be a free country and a free nation, we have to have legitimate elections. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. All right, Representative Janelle Branchett, let's let you answer those two questions, if you would, please.
Sure. The subpoenas that we're talking about were actually for the machines, for the data. I don't think there's been anything lost on that at this point. I mean, there are. We still want to make sure that the machines have not had the ability to be hacked. And so I think there will be additional requests going out from the servers themselves. So I understand his frustration, but there are different paths to making things happen, and I believe that some of those paths will be used coming up real soon here. And then his other question, as far as holding people accountable from the Wisconsin Election Commission, you know, it's three Republicans, three Democrats. The question is, I think the larger question is, how much longer should Wisconsin, should WEC be the process that we use? You know, we are ahead because we did have a WEC. We had CTCL didn't have a Secretary of State to work through. But I think the question of WEC as a body in the state of Wisconsin, what should we put in place of it? What should we use instead? The clerks, it's a bottom-up system in the state of Wisconsin, 1,900 clerks. They are ultimately all responsible constitutionally. Is there a better process? And I think a lot of us, between the GAB, our former Government Accountability Board, and now WEC, have real concerns about what that should be going forward. And I'll be the first one to say I have doubts about WEC going forward.
That's the Wisconsin Election Commission, right?
That is correct.
Let's go to Joanne from Tucson, Arizona. Thank you for calling in, Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I have a question for the representative. Considering the state of our media, how are you planning on getting this information out to the people of Wisconsin, much less the people of the country who really need to know this?
Well, this is one way right here. We're on 59 stations. We've been doing this over at Frank and Lindell TV. You've been doing other interviews too, right?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've gone around the state, and it's a privilege to be able to talk about these things. It's crazy. You know, before 2020, if I were to ask you how the machines work, how the votes are processed, what a central count is, you know, what a special voting, probably a lot of people would not know that. And that's wrong, right? That's our civic duty. So if nothing else in this process, we have learned so much more about our equipment, our machines, our clerks, getting more people to be poll workers. There's a complete, you know, I hate to say we were somewhat disconnected. And I'll tell you right now, the state of Wisconsin, walking around the state and talking to people, there's a lot more emphasis and importance on voting, chain of custody. I mean, these are the issues that we are now diving into for the, because of 2020.
Yeah. Thank you, Joanne. Joanne from Tucson, Arizona, checking in. And her point is a good one. I mean, you can have all the evidence in the world, but if you can't get it out to the American people, and that's what they want. They want, and, you know, tell a lie often enough, people believe it. So it's a matter of trying to get your message out and then overcome the lie of the propaganda that this has all been debunked, right?
Well, it's clearly not debunked in the state of Wisconsin. And, I mean, so how do you explain a guy from New York having
yes.
the ability to have access to accounting? There is no explanation for that. And none of the five mayors that have been asked subpoenaed by Justice Gableman at this point that I'm aware of, and I want to be cautious in case they have had a conversation recently, have not come in to answer questions.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
If it's such a transparent election, just have this conversation with us.
David from Santa Fe. David from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thanks for calling in, David.
Yes. Hey, Brandon, I totally appreciate your program. And
thank you.
Thanks, Janelle, for all the work she's done. I'm more curious about that. I think it's been partially answered. The going forward, the legal process to bring these people accountable and to have this, you know, greater exposed. Thank you.
So, keep in mind, I am a legislator. I am not a DA. I am not a sheriff. So, I've put my role in exposing it, talking to people, putting things on the web, doing interviews. But there are this information is coming forward. We do have an investigative group. We have a special counsel to the Assembly Committee on Campaigns, and that is Justice Gableman. And their ability to ask questions and get more information allows them to put things in a legal perspective that, as a legislator, you know, I don't carry a badge, right? It'd be fun, but I don't think we have separation of powers for a very real reason. And, you know, we're going to continue to shout as loud as we can, talk about it, and make sure that our people know how important elections are and being part of this, because we can't let this happen again.
Mark from Eau Claire. Mark, thanks for calling in today. Line 2, Mark from Eau Claire.
Hi.
Hi.
Brandon, thanks for having my call.
Thank you.
Okay. I know Senator Kathy Brenier, who I believe is on the Senate side of the commission.
Yes.
Or overseeing it. And her response to me a month or two ago was, well, there really isn't anything. We need to get by this. I have two other Republican representatives in the Assembly, Jesse James and Warren. And what is it going to take to get a little fire under them? Do I need to get me and my individuals I know to start calling them or whatever? It's very frustrating because they just don't seem to take it real serious.
Representative Janelle?
Having a conversation and making sure that you're talking to your state senators and your state representatives. Listen, this is where elections are run, at a local level, and making sure that you and them both understand your concerns is part of my job, right? My job is to represent you. So I would definitely encourage you to have a phone call with all of your state rep. Where are they? How do they feel about it? What do they know about it? I mean, I get it. This is so hard to believe that this happened in Wisconsin. It's so hard to believe the coordination, the money, the time that was spent building all these digital platforms. It's unbelievable, but we have all the facts. So enough with denying it, and now let's have a conversation about what are we going to do to make sure that we have transparent and fair elections, because right now in the state of Wisconsin, we do not.
So the music's playing to quit, but do you have a report you guys are going to release that will be basically bullet points, maybe a 25, 50-page, 100-page report that we could disseminate all over the state of Wisconsin of all this, all the evidence you're bringing out, yet to bring out?
Absolutely. The Legislative Audit Bureau absolutely exposed a lot of these things, and that was done in October. And there was an early report from Justice Gableman. And there will be more reports of the media. Even the media has to pick up. We have tons of articles exposing these issues and going through these emails. It is unbelievable that this was necessary to beat Donald Trump in the state of Wisconsin.
Representative Janelle Branchon, thanks for being with us. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.